Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did.
That's a really consent thing now, because it just popped up my phone and said, this is being recorded. Do you want to stay in the meeting?
Yeah. Mine did too.
That was cool.
Wow.
Zoom and consent. What a perfect thing for this episode.
That is amazing.
That is good. Sorry. I need to put on chapstick or I'll just lick my lips the whole time. Okay. I'm ready.
I think I can even talk.
Hello and welcome back to Dirty Words. So today we just wanted to give another shout out to all of you for tuning in and listening with us. We know we do not have the strictest recording schedule or uploading schedule. I just like to say Iridian recently got a promotion.
Claps. Yeah.
Alex is transitioning back from remote work to like partial, potentially full-time in office work, which I don't think we're going to clap for that one, but, and then me, myself, Marissa, I am in the process of trying to find a more steady job and find a new job, because currently I have a schedule about every week and a half that changes all the time. So I never know when I'm going to work. Yeah. But thank you for being here. And we hope you keep tuning in with us, and maybe your schedule is just as chaotic as ours. So this makes sense for you.
Marissa, that was a great introduction. So today, our dirty word is no, and we're going to go into depth about what that means and why that's our dirty word, but trigger warning before we even begin. There'll be conversation of sexual violence, as well as general physical violence, abuse, and just kind of coercion in society in general. So if any of these thoughts or ideas you have experiences with, just know that these are topics that we might touch on in some capacity during this episode. So please take care of yourself.
Yeah.
This will also be more of like a conversation talking episode about experiences and just kind of what we see in day-to-day life. Again, we will link anything we might reference, but this is going to be more just a chat.
Because I also think when it comes to the concept of no and consent and how we communicate, as much as we can pull up research and psychological studies and all of this stuff, a lot of it just has to do with like the human experience, right? Yeah. And like how we exist on the planet. So I think this is a good space for us just to chat. And like, we all are also going through a lot of different things in life right now. And like, I can even speak for myself. My mood was not the best this morning. And so I'm in the mood to chat. I'm not in the mood to necessarily research. And that shouldn't, I don't think we should always have to ingest information as like official academic research. I think part of how culture and information changes is just conversation.
Also, this one's perfect because it's like general common sense that people either want to hear or probably should hear versus like you said, like stats and stuff. And I also was not feeling it. I did not go to bed till late because we've been busy playing video games.
Gaming, everyone.
That's a good, what are the obsessions this week then? So we know we've been up gaming all night.
So this is Marissa, I'll start. I'm obsessed with Fortnite. I do not have money to do anything with it, but I bought skins on Fortnite, which don't judge me, please. I'm sensitive. Think of that what you will, but I think Fortnite is just like, I know it's a shooting game, blah, blah. It's also just very fantastical, and I love the way that it looks. And you get, there's like a reward, like there's like an endorphin rush when you win, but I never feel bad when I lose. It's usually just funny. Like I jumped off a waterfall and died. Luckily I was on a team for that one. But yeah, it just is a good relief and it just is enjoyable.
I actually love Fortnite. We've been like online playing a lot. And like, I finally got my first win and I felt so good. Whoop, whoop. That was yesterday.
Her first solo win.
My first solo win. I finally did it.
We're young. We're hip.
Got him.
And then I also think with that, because something cool that we were talking about with video games specifically, because I also bought a couple more gameplay style video games that follow storylines, is when you're playing a video game, you're still actively doing something, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm a horrible social media scroller where I just scroll through TikTok and Twitter and I'm trying, and Instagram, I'm trying to cut those habits because like those, I think those things are destroying my mental health and my brain right now.
I also couldn't even tell you half the shit that I look at too when I start scrolling. I literally will just be like, scroll.
Which video games, if you're playing with other people, you're actively communicating. Mm-hmm. You're also, you might actively be like working with other people and working on a team. And you're also, it's like brain hand coordination. Like you're still actively using your brain instead of just kind of like mindlessly ingesting stuff. Mm-hmm. So another thing kind of to transition into one of my obsessions of the week is which kind of the month, I've been reading a book because I'm trying to get back into reading because your girl is not good at sticking to it. But I've been reading a book called All About Love by Bell Hooks. And it's about how kind of we process these intimate connections we have with friends, family, mm-hmm. romantic partners, and how most of us equate like something as simple as affection with like a deep feeling of intimacy and love, or something as like a transactional exchange. Like if someone's mean to you and then they apologize by giving you a gift, like we equate stuff like that with love. But in mm-hmm. actuality, that's not what it is. And if we can't understand love as a society, like we won't ever see changes, because bell hooks believes that like ending rape culture, ending patriarchy, ending racism is going to come from love, which is just, as a young person, that is very radical in my mind, because I have seen a lot of people argue the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my obsession this week. That was really intense and kind of different than Fortnite, but it's just another way to use the brain. Right.
That's cool though. Does it say anything about love languages?
I am only about halfway through, but she does talk about like pillars of self-esteem, which is like a sociologist, I think, who made those, and knowing how I think we communicate, but the language of love language in particular, I'm not sure yet.
I don't know if she would bring it up. I'm pretty sure the person who made like the official love language that a lot of us reference has very specific political beliefs, from my understanding. Really?
Aren't they a racist or something?
I saw some stuff on Twitter. I have no confirmation of this. I didn't really look into it, but I'm like, a lot of people who have made those like standardized tests, it turned out it was a way to like categorize people for bad reasons.
Also, most of those personality tests do come from white cis male academics.
But right? I think love, there's also good things that come from love language that people are learning, understanding how to communicate better. But yeah, but I have a feeling she probably didn't reference him. And the book might have been, I don't actually know how old love languages are.
Which also, before that, my love languages have been changing as I get older, I think. Like when Fortnite tells me Victory Royale, when I win, words of affirmation, that incites a feeling inside of me.
You know, like one of our favorite podcasts, like all three of us, is Oddvice. Mm-hmm. And they did an episode on love languages. And like they mention how like there's this, people have been saying like your quote unquote love language is like what you may be seeking from that you did not get either mm-hmm. in the past or in a past relationship. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. Me too.
That also shows how it can change in people too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it changes like a lot.
Yeah.
Well, my obsession is kind of like Alex's. I've been trying
academics.
Academics. I've been trying to read at least 13 books this year because I made myself like a goal, because I used to read a lot and then I just stopped, and then mm-hmm. I got into Twilight again. Don't judge me.
No judgment.
I judge S. Meyer just as much as the next person, but I just can't. I keep watching Twilight and I keep reading it over and over again, and I just really wanted to read what was the new one, Midnight Sun.
Mm-hmm.
Really great. I totally recommend it, but that's not my obsession. That was like my obsession a few months ago. So I was in Barnes & Noble like looking for a book, and I found one, and I literally just bought it because of the cover, because like you know, I like pretty covers, but it's Girls of a Certain Age, and it's written by Maria Eldeman or something. Eldeman. I'll tag it, but it's literally just like a bunch of mini stories, and it's like real life type situations. I don't know if she wrote all of it. I think they may just be made up situations, but it's just like normal everyday, like things that, you know, women or girls go through in their life or may encounter at some point. And they're really good. Some of them are really sad. Some of them are just like, oh, you know, but they're really good. I like it a lot. I also just like really like books like that, that are like mini stories, like BJ Novak just released one not that long ago, like a year or two ago. I read that one too. But they're really good. It's going to bother me if I don't remember what it was called.
While she's searching, this is for people listening right now, and we're probably going to engage on Instagram about it too. So if you don't follow us, follow us. And if you all are interested in some type of like book club, maybe, or kind of encouraging each other to read, because I am horrible at sticking to it, but I want to be a reader again, because I used to be like a fairly avid reader. And also, if anyone ever wants to play Fortnite with us,
play
with us.
My name is Princess Peck on everything.
So I shoot the sky a lot, but I think that's
hilarious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I found the book name.
Oh yeah, okay. What is it?
The BJ Novak one is One More Things, Stories and Other Stories.
Oh yeah, I didn't read that. I heard that about that one though.
Yeah, it's just like mini stories.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should definitely do that that book club idea. I love that, because I found like I joined Goodreads to keep myself accountable, and like some of my friends are literally reading like 24 books in the year. And like, I want to get back into that. But now I started low.
I joined Goodreads after you joined Goodreads, because I was like, I feel encouraged. And then I just have not logged back on because I know I haven't been reading.
That's okay.
No, don't tell me it's okay. Be mean to me. No, please don't be mean to me.
And that brings us back to our word. No.
No. I have a definition for it.
Oh yeah.
So I was like really curious what the definition would be, like if you look it up, because like how do you explain no, you know?
Yeah.
So in the simplest of terms, it's a negative used to express dissent, denial, or refusal, as in response to a question or a request.
Which like makes sense, but if someone's like, verbalize what no means, I'd be like, I would be like, no. I want to say this word was inspired by the fact we got an Instagram message, which please message us your ideas or visit our website and share some thoughts, or you can even email us. But we got an Instagram message about rape culture being the topic. And I think that's really important. And I loved that. I like the words rape culture. I think that's important that people understand that. But I was like, what's like the simple form of that? And I think that centers around no, and understanding like bodily autonomy and just like general consent. And I'm not even talking about like in a sexual way, just like consent. Like, can I have a bite of your peanut butter and jelly lunch sandwich? No, I would not like to share my sandwich with you today.
Which like, the first thing I thought of when we were discussing the IG message, and then we were talking about like, what should we call it? And I want you all to answer this question. How often do you all feel bad for saying no to people?
Every single time I say no.
And like what situations too? Is it like anything? Is it specific people?
I usually feel bad saying no to like disappointing people normally, but I also it's not so much that I feel bad saying no to people that are like this, but I'm almost afraid of saying no to people that are very strong or aggressive because I am very passive.
I also feel like I need an explanation all the time. Like my coworker was just talking about how she had a funeral to go to and was saying that it was going to be at a certain time. And she was worried they were going to like harass her into having to work because they'll be like, oh, well, you would work before the time of that. And I was like, no, that shouldn't happen. Mm-mm. You shouldn't even have to explain yourself. You should just be like, hey, like an event, like something happened and I can't make it into work, especially if you're giving them days notice too. Cause I'm not also talking about like a salary job where there's a, I'm talking about like an hourly job, but yeah, and the little things like that, not even being able, like being scared or worried to say no, or feeling the need to constantly explain, leads to this bigger idea of rape culture. And rape culture is just the, like a cultural environment in which we normalize, we accept, and we like
promote
and even defend sometimes rape or assault or when people's boundaries are violated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that all comes back to being able to understand, read body language and
because when we talk
people's differences, right?
When we talk about feeling uncomfortable saying no, like the question I just asked you, I'm guessing you all thought of like normal situations, right? Like someone saying, could you pay for this? Or could you do this for me? Or X, Y, like normal things, like normal everyday interactions. Mm-hmm. So we're not even talking about like more intense interactions that might have to do with like livelihood, that might have to do with like body autonomy, things like that. So like if we're struggling to be able to say no, because like I suck at saying no. If we're struggling to say no in situations like that, like how is it ever expected that we have a solid understanding when it comes to like the physical body and our interaction with other people?
Yeah, exactly. I also think one of the most like striking things for me for understanding and respecting like your autonomy to make a decision. So anyone, I'm going to ruin a movie. TV show now, but She's Gotta Have It, originally made by Spike Lee and then was remade by Spike Lee into a TV show. In the original movie, the main woman is raped, and we can have a whole separate episode about like assault and rape and what all of that means in today's social structure, but it's also by someone she knows, which is like a whole other context. And the new TV show, she's grabbed on the street, like she's grabbed by the arm and someone's like trying to pull her back. And she gets away. And I remember in the TV show being like, oh, like that wasn't very extreme. Someone just kind of grabbed her on the street, but she got away. And then I literally had to catch myself and be like, oh my God, what the fuck did I just like, how did I, that's normalization of rape culture. Like that's her body being violated. That's her like not agreeing to something and someone continuing to pester her because she didn't give them attention. And I was like, it's not the same thing as what happened in the original movie, but it still is scary, traumatizing, can change someone's perspective on like, do they want to walk outside alone at night? Like, yeah, that was what that I had to catch myself on that one. I remember watching the show and actively being like, oh, and then literally when the episode ended and I was like talking about it, I was like, what the fuck am I saying? Yeah. That was also as horrible. Like if I got grabbed on the street, I would freak out.
Also, like, where does it begin? You know, like in the simplest like of terms, where are we learning this behavior? Because it's like learned, you know,
in childhood, like how you're boys will be boys.
Oh my God. Boys will be boys. Or like, oh, he's just being mean to you because he likes you. Or is she just being mean to you because she likes you?
We do it to babies.
Or being saying no also makes you impolite, right?
Yeah.
Saying no makes you rude, especially if you're a woman or more feminine presenting person. It makes you rude. It makes you sassy. It makes you disrespectful.
Makes you a bitch.
Saying no is mean.
Yeah. But even like where it starts, even with babies, when I think I don't have kids, so maybe I'd be different if I had kids. I think it is disgusting when people have little babies that like babies look at people. That's just a thing that babies do. They have different peripheral. They're learning to understand the world. And they'll be like, oh, he just really likes you. And I'm like, he's 3 months old.
Yeah.
Stop it. Things like that is or like
girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you're and like, they are fetuses.
Like they don't even understand. They can't even speak yet. So how is that working for them?
Why are we attaching these like social constructs and just like straight up gender roles before these children can chew food or even walk?
Which I know some people might think that's extreme, but that carries over, right? So like you have babies and then you have toddlers where they're like, oh, like they must like you. That's why he threw a rock at you at recess. That's why he yanked your dress. Like,
I mean, I think sometimes with those conversations, where like when people are saying like, I mean, I think it's literally the conversation of like, oh no, don't be upset. He's allowed to do that to you because he has these emotions for you. Yeah. Right. Or that person's that other child's allowed to do that because they have X, Y, and Z emotions. It's also not just the phrase of saying like, boys will be boys, or like, that's just what happens. It's also the phrase that like, I guarantee you most of those conversations also consist around the phrase of no, no, don't be upset. Don't feel like that because what they're doing should be flattering.
Yeah.
Or you shouldn't have said no, you should have just gone and played with them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add to the way that we teach and talk to it. So if you heard us, we're all saying he as like the perpetrator, the one doing something bad, but it goes both in all ways. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about a binary, where it goes to boys and girls, but obviously it's beyond just
the concept of yes and no, right? Like who's allowed to say no, who should listen to no's, goes to masculinity. No. Well, I was going to say it goes to masculinity and femininity, right?
Yeah.
Like, so anyone can have masculine traits. I would argue that most women in society who are in high positions of power are hyper-masculine to an extent. So it's the idea that of like tied back to toxic masculinity. So the idea that like saying no makes a feminine person more aggressive, right? It's challenging the power of whatever the masculine party or parties in the situation are trying to do. And those exist outside of gender. I want to make that clear. Like this stuff is all on a spectrum and it's fluid and we all have masculine and feminine traits. So I do think that the concept of being able to say no and listening to no, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm thinking out loud while I'm talking. The concept of being taught to ignore no's is rooted in masculinity because it's rooted in an act of dominance. Mm-hmm. While the concept of being told you're not allowed to say no is rooted in femininity because you're told that you need to be docile and palatable to people and places around you. I got it out. I did it. I'm a philosopher.
That's this is perfect. Oh, sorry. You can go right in.
No, just that's perfect.
This is just a very different direction. I just have more media examples. I'm not on the philosophical train like Alex and Iridian have been with their books. But even the way that I brought up the gender binary, because even the way we see it presented in movies. So like Horrible Bosses, I love movies. I love crappy movies. I literally will sit and watch like Barbie movies because Barbie's an icon. But then I'll also watch like thought-provoking foreign film, whatever. But Horrible Bosses sucks. It's disgusting. Jennifer Aniston is assaulting and raping people in that movie. And it's a joke because she's a woman versus That's My Boy. I just have to look up the title with Adam Sandler and Andy Samberg. He has a baby with his teacher when he's like 12. That's assault. A 12-year-old cannot consent with an adult. Like, and it's supposed to be like, he's so cool. And maybe that's not the point of the movie, but they made a movie about a little boy having a baby with a teacher and it's a comedy. It's not like a horror drama.
When we are talking in more of the binary sense, right? And we were saying like men and women are boys and girls a lot. That also is like, that's also how we see cis boys get harmed because they're told like, you shouldn't say no. Like
you should like this.
They're taught
that's what boys like.
So they're taught to not say no when it comes to things that are considered powerful. So like sex and sexual activity and things like that, those are considered powerful things in our society, which like that's a whole nother conversation that we need to separate power from sex because that's that's an issue in and of itself, but that's power in our society. Rape is used as a weapon of war. And so boys are taught like, hey, if you say no to sex, that makes you less powerful. So saying no to sex is wrong.
Yeah.
So then that's also how we see little boys end up being assaulted and hurt, because if they tell people, it's something that they wanted.
Even if they didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, even beyond boys and girls, the ability, that's where it starts, like at the foundation, like Iridian brought up. No, yes, all those things. That goes to even being able to explain what you want. So like,
yeah,
someone that's perceived to be a little boy, quotes around that, who doesn't want to do little boy things, quotes around that as well. And they're like, no, then they're told that they're wrong. They don't understand that they're just a kid. So respecting everyone's choices in that, and that will allow people to explore their identity and figure out who they are, because everyone's not a boy, everyone's not a girl. Everyone born a certain way isn't that.
Which this stuff all has to do with communication, like foundationally, right? Like, yeah, if we're talking about rape culture, if we're talking about power and control, if we're talking about saying yes and no, it all has to do with the ability to communicate. I'm not just talking about verbal communication, like whatever someone's primary mode of communication is. It has to do with the ability to communicate and what people have access to, basically, because not access, but like how people are taught. Because I foundationally think that in our societal structures, from the family structure to school, like we are not taught how to properly communicate, how to properly express emotions, how to properly express our wants and our needs. And yeah, so then it leads to people being hurt emotionally, physically, mentally, and not being able to say no or ignoring no's and promoting these different forms of violence and power, because we're taught the ultimate form of success is having the most power, instead of like the ultimate form of success is like everyone being safe and happy.
Mm-hmm. You know,
you go.
This is a message to everyone. I'm closer to the microphone, so I hope it's louder in your earbuds, earphones, whatever you call them. Stop saying sorry for regular daily activities. Iridian just said sorry again. I said sorry like 5 minutes ago. Stop it.
I never apologize. I felt
sorry for cutting Alex off.
I cut you off. I cut you off. You go. Hey, if you want to fight, we can fight through the Zoom screen right now, Iridian. Come at me. I'm actually in bed right now because I've had a long day and I'm
kick her out of the meeting. Kick her out of the meeting, Iridian.
We can fight Fortnite style. No worries.
Wait, what were you going to say though?
Oh, I remembered something. A couple of things, like the whole, which is like a huge premise in like a million and 10 rom-coms, of like the friend zone or not taking no for an answer, mm-hmm, is like huge. And I think that like perpetuates rape culture a lot, and just like,
yeah,
is very against consent culture, because like with friend zone, it's almost like there's this post going around right now on Facebook. I don't know who started it. Probably a million people posted the same thing, but like, it's like, particularly with women or like female people, saying yes to something, particularly with sex, most of the time it's going to be like, oh, well, she's a slut, you know,
mm-hmm,
like, and, or the general consensus of what the, yeah, public likes to judge, you know,
you're supposed to have experience, but you're also a whore if you've done anything.
Yeah. But however, like if you say no,
you're to someone, proof.
You're a prude, you're a bitch, you're friend zoning someone. And mm-hmm, I just don't like the concept of the friend zone in general, because we can do a whole fucking episode on that.
No one ever goes for the nice guy anymore. The nice guy that harasses you and sends you dick pics.
Yeah. Well, also, I was about to say, this goes back to the communication. You should be fucking friends with someone before you're like, let's be in a long-term sexual relationship. You should probably have been in a friend zone for a second and like actually gotten to know them. So then you learn how you communicated. Yeah. Maybe you learn how you communicate. Maybe you learn what yes and no looks like to that person, instead of just like, oh, well, we're told we need to be intimate romantic partners immediately. Let's do it.
Also, part of all of that too, is it's never someone that's like rejecting something. It's never like, oh, like, what could I do to like help you be more comfortable? Or like if a little kid's saying no to something, it's like, oh, like what happened? Like, why don't you want to clean your room today? Like, are you okay? There's never a conversation. It's usually the person that was given the no or the person that was rejected that they're like, oh, like how are, like, are they okay? And that goes back to rape culture. And this will be specifically about assault, but like when a rapist assaults somebody and they're like, oh, but it'll ruin their life if you bring it up. So you might as well just like not bring it up.
Yeah.
It was just a one-time thing. Like, don't, no.
You're not allowed to say that word to your woman. You can't say that word to your woman.
Alex.
I say it again.
I just said something serious. Get out of my face.
Say it again.
But like, that's it, right? We're more worried. Even the changes with Title IX, if anyone's been following that, which mm-hmm. we can link some of the changes that happened with that. Title IX is now working this stuff. Betsy DeVos and Donald Trump did this, but it's now protecting perpetrators and rapists more than it's actually helping anyone that's a survivor or victim of assault.
Yeah. I could talk about that for like 6 hours.
That's like your job.
Yeah.
Don't tell people that's my episode. Job, but I could talk about that. No, you can tell people it's my job. I stand by my opinions.
We should do an episode on that because
Title IX.
Yeah.
It's important to know what it is.
Yeah.
And what's happening.
I would like to know more about it. But I think that's a very valid point, Marissa. Like also just like the whole nice guy thing. First off, nice isn't a quality. Nice isn't it's literally not, it's the bare minimum. Okay.
Penn being nice Badgley. Love Penn Badgley as like a person. I think he's great. Him and you, he's the nice guy in you. Have you seen you? Yeah. Yes. If anyone's seen you, he's the nice guy. And I believe that you is the opposite side of every rom-com. Do I have trust issues? Clearly.
I absolutely love the way, like how extreme that show is though. Like.
Sorry, we just did a microphone change. Alex is now out here with me. I don't know what was just said, but I have a really good idea.
Do you want a chair? Okay.
So we're talking about yes and no's, and we're also talking about, I heard them talking about you when I was running out to the other microphone. Not you, but you, the TV show.
Yeah.
Well, you too, if you're listening, we're talking about you.
Netflix.
But what I was going to say is too, that is capitalism, right? Like us consuming something through Netflix.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest issues with rape culture and when it comes to no, and I would confidently do research on this and make it a theory or a law, whatever. I'm going to make it science. I think that rape culture, we're not going to see a fundamental, like to its core end of it until we deconstruct capitalism, because part of capitalism is teaching people to ignore no. How many of you have been a sales associate or worked as a cashier somewhere or
a restaurant worker?
Restaurant worker. You're told to upsell. You're literally told like make them say no to you 3 to 5 times before you're actually like, okay, you said no. You're also told that you can't say no to work. How many of you have I know people who have worked 24 hour shifts.
Also, it's like, how many times is it like, oh, it's well past my time to go home. Mm. However, my boss or peers told me that I cannot go home on time because this, or this. And then in the end, it's your performance.
But then you can't have overtime. Mm-mm. So then they're mad at you that you stayed, but you got told to stay because they didn't hire enough workers for the workload that they're getting.
Mm-hmm. And this isn't like not even just a specific workplace, because this is something that I've seen everywhere that I've gone to work in,
mm-hmm.
like everywhere. But I remembered something with no, also like back to the children, families like kissing and hugging, demanding hugs mm-hmm. and kisses from children. That is something that when I was a kid, I absolutely hated. I don't know those people. I've seen them maybe once, twice, three times in my life. And then like my parents are like, no, you have to greet them. Did you greet them? Like, did you give them a hug and a kiss? And I'm like, I don't want to. However, I'm a rude brat for saying no, you know?
Well, even now, I love a good back massage. If I know you in any general sense of the way and you're like, and I'm in, and like, we're cordial and you're like friendly, not sexual, and you're friendly, like, I'll give you a back massage. I'll be like, please, my body is always sore. But I also have a weird thing with touching. Like, I usually am not running up hugging everyone I meet. And like, I'm also trying to think about the last time I even shook hands, but COVID. So that's a thing. Alex, stop. She just tried to touch me as I'm talking about this. But my mom is a big toucher and she has shamed me for not wanting to hug her all the time. I'm like, okay, I'll give you a hug. Like, you need, like, ask me. But she'll like walk up and think that she can just like hug me because she's my mom. I was like, that's not how it works. I was like, we need to have a conversation if you're coming into my space and going to touch me.
Which, yeah. I think that's also a cultural age gap too.
Like, yeah.
Teaching people in other age ranges about that, like, we do have a right to our body in all capacities. Mm-hmm. There's no one who has unlimited access to our body whenever they want to. It doesn't matter if you're a doctor, it doesn't matter if you're a spouse, it doesn't matter if you're a parent. Like, people still mm-hmm. have a right to have control of their body, because if they don't have control of their body in their personal spaces mm-hmm. when it comes to a dangerous situation, they're gonna think they don't have control of their body then either.
You know who really needs to listen to this right now?
Who?
My dog. He's always all up in my business.
Someone's dog licked my face and I was absolutely appalled.
Oh,
I don't do dog. It was like my mouth, and I don't do dogs. Yeah, it like jumped up on me. I was like, please, please stop. I have that.
A little reactive pup. His name is Cooks, and he does not like strangers, and he does not like things that scare him. He is convinced that everything that exists in this world is out to kill him.
It probably is.
It might be. And, but I used to be, it still stresses me out sometimes. I used to be a lot more worried about him barking and sometimes growling.
And also telling people that they should probably like calm down because he's cute. So they like freak out. They're like, it'd be like, hey, like, he's a little anxious. So like, maybe take,
mm-hmm. I used to be a lot more nervous and stressed about it. And then I started realizing, I was like, wait, why are strangers walking up and just grabbing my dog? Yeah. I was at a restaurant one time sitting on an outdoor patio, and someone reached through. I was just sitting eating, and then I heard him growling, and someone had reached through the fence underneath my chair and was trying to pet my dog. And I was like, it was an adult too. Yeah, it was an adult. Oh, I was like, God. I'm not even upset. I was like, Cooks, you're not attacking people. You just get upset when people try and grab you and touch you when you don't want to be grabbed or touched. Honestly,
in your space.
Yeah, I'm like, he's like me, so I don't know if I can be mad at it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, honestly, that.
What?
No, you're. I was just gonna repeat that it all just connects. Rape culture. No, it starts at childhood.
I was gonna say the same thing. Honestly, with dogs. That fits really well. I didn't mm-hmm. even realize it, because like Finley is the same way. My dog, mm-hmm. like, she's scared of everything. Mm-hmm. And like, she, same with my other dog Fitz. Like, if someone comes up to him too strong, like another dog, not so much humans, but another dog, like, they get very stressed out. They're not mm-hmm. okay with it. And like, they're big dogs. So when they growl and say like, you're in my space, they're trying to tell us something. I'm mm-hmm. trying to, you know, socialize them more, but at the same time, I don't want them to be too uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which also, like, this is a little bit of a different tangent, but like, dogs are like people too, right? Like, we all have, dogs are going to have anxiety. Dogs are going to have depression. Dogs are going to have their own life experiences. Mm-hmm. And that also relates to how, if we relate it back to people, how people can say yes and no, right? Like, if I know someone who's socially anxious, they're not going to necessarily be able to say no in super social situations compared to someone who might be an extrovert who can stand in front of a group of people and scream no on the top of their lungs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, that's another pet peeve of, that's a pet, or I haven't said a pet peeve of mine. Rape culture is a pet peeve of mine, but this is another pet peeve of mine. Is it, and it goes back to like being able to say yes or no, extroverted, introverted, like how you can speak up for yourself and what you're taught is okay. When people judge more reserved people, especially with certain jobs, mm-hmm. like we were resident assistants, and that is a very outgoing position where you're supposed to talk to people, but you also need that connection that a lot of more introverted people have, and that like one-on-one connection. People who are more introverted I did interviews, people would be like, they just like didn't say this. I was like, they're clearly a more reserved person. I was like, that doesn't mean they won't be effective at the job. Yeah. I was like, just because they aren't shouting from the rooftops and like running around screaming like I do sometimes does not mean that they won't be good at something. Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to like the how can you speak up for yourself and the way that we interpret certain personalities to be more powerful, and then their responses are more meaningful for us, and so we'll take them more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys introverts or extroverts?
I'm an extrovert for sure.
I am an introvert all the way.
And for listeners, try to tell us apart by our voices. What about you, Iridian?
I'm an introvert, but I appear to be extroverted, but I'm actually not.
This is why all of us get along.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm the social glue that holds us together, even though I'm a hermit. Literally go to work and come home.
When Alex and I hang out without Marissa, we're like, sorry. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
They just sit in silence and stare at each other. And
then we just,
it's not our fault that we're beautiful.
We take turns saying sorry.
No, but I think I just want to say no again. Now I keep saying it. Someone do a word count for us, please.
I just take a shot every time.
Want you to think about, like, actually think about even when we, okay, I'm going to be serious, Alex. Even when we make our Instagram post, comment and say how often you think your no's are respected or how often you're scared to say no to somebody. Like, actually think about it and do it for a week. Just for a week, think about what that means. And I think a lot of people, if you haven't already, you'll realize how often you accept like uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. And I'm not meaning like uncomfortable, like you're trying something new. I mean, uncomfortable, like you're being put in a situation that might not be safe. Cause like I'll use that word willy-nilly sometimes, but I've like been in uncomfortable situations where I've had people be like, oh, well, like you just need to lean into this discomfort. I was like, no, it was an unsafe situation.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I'm using uncomfortable as like a general term, but I was like, this was escalating to an unsafe situation when like there was power dynamics, there was alcohol involved, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But think about how often you are allowed to say yes, you are allowed to say no, and how often it's respected.
I remember something that you brought up, Marissa, about consent culture.
Yeah.
And bodily autonomy. The yearbook photos.
Mm. I think it was Florida, right?
I want to say it was Florida, but I can look it up.
But so if anyone hasn't heard of that, what Iridian will look up and can confirm what state it was, but it was a high school yearbook. And I think they said at least over 80. I don't know if there's more or if they've confirmed like a specific number, but they were altering specifically girls' pictures in the yearbook because their shirts were too low or their shoulders were showing, and they just photo edited them, like one, very, very poorly, two, without the permission, and three, stop it. You're sexualizing children. And that goes into rape culture. It goes into, they didn't ask them. You get the yearbook photos and they're like, do you want to touch up your skin? Do you want to brighten the photo? Do you want to do this? They just went ahead and went, oh, you have a V-neck. Let's raise that up to your collarbone neckline.
Yeah.
Like we'll post a picture of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was in Florida. They reported it on the
children.
TV. Yeah. Like what the heck? Also, like, they didn't agree to it, first off. No. And like, just the whole idea of dress codes in general.
I hate all dress codes. I hate professional work dress codes. I hate school dress codes. I get being like, wear tennis shoes. You work in an environment where you could like drop something on your foot. Makes sense. Being like, you can't wear a tank top to school because your shoulders are distracting. Yeah. Who are they distracting? Huh?
Also, I understand like if something's inappropriate in the sense, like it says the word fuck on it, or like it's like an obscene image or something that's like straight
racist
up
or fucking racist. Or,
yeah. But like body, like your butt, it's hot. Like, if a child is freaking hot, like When I was in high school, like I didn't have like shorts. It was really hard for me to find shorts that fit the length that they wanted. Also, I have like freakishly long arms and like it would go past my, you know, it'd go down pretty low, the whole fingertip rule. And I would get in trouble so much.
I mean, in high school, Alex and I went to high school with Iridian. We went to high school in Arkansas.
High school buddies.
Yeah. I don't think I wore shorts ever in high school. One, I was just like a stout person. I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do with my body. Like I remember putting on like skirts for an event and my older sister being like, oh my God, leave your butt. And I was like, I'm 14. Please leave me alone. but I never wore shorts in high school because I could never get them to fit, or like I thought it just looked weird, or I was worried I would get in trouble like that. Like I got comments about wearing a tank top after school was out and it was 95 degrees out and I was sitting outside waiting for my ride. The vice principal was like, oh, you need to wear a jacket. And I was like, I'm outside and school's not in session. But yeah, so I never wore shorts in high school ever.
And you all know what dress codes really do? Dress codes teach people. So like in the setting, they're creating a norm. They're saying, like, if someone has cleavage, if someone has their shoulders showing, if someone's wearing something like this, that you have a right to objectify them. So that is literally teaching people, even if they say no, even if they say stop, it means you're allowed to keep going because their clothes are telling you can.
Which we'll link this and I'll have a link for it. There's a study that shows that when they showed, I'm assuming the pool was cis men because it said men. They showed men an image of a woman in like regular clothes, like whatever, more covered up. And they were just like, their brain responded like the way that you regularly would to a person. When they showed men an image of a woman that was like a little bit less covered, the part in their brain that responded to objects responded to the pictures of women. They literally thought women were objects because we're taught that, right?
That's alarming.
Yeah. I'll find the study. I saw people talking about it.
Yeah. Send it. I'll post it in there. We'll even share it on Instagram. That's absolutely ridiculous. If you haven't seen Moxie on Netflix, definitely watch it. It's really cute. And it has like, have you seen it?
I love Moxie. I think there's like, obviously there's you can't get everything perfect in 90 minutes, but yeah. I think it's a really good introduction to like just the world of watching someone learn. And I know people had critiques about like a white girl learning from a black girl, but also Amy Poehler wrote it. So I don't know if it would have been appropriate for Amy Poehler to write from a black girl's perspective.
Yeah.
So it made a little bit more sense that the main character was her daughter, she could have had a mixed daughter, but speaking from an experience she doesn't understand.
Her friend telling her like, I'm not going to be your teacher because I'm black. Yeah. Like that was so powerful. It was just so good. And I think you guys should all watch it. It's like really cheesy in some parts, but like, I think they got a lot of things right.
And I just want to say, I know we're getting near the end. For anyone still with us, who has been in a situation that was potentially where they were assaulted or raped, or they just feel like they were violated in some way, even if it was like a very simple no, like you didn't want to go see a certain movie. I'm sorry that's happened to you. I'm sorry that we live in a world that probably took the side of the person that did something to you. Mm-hmm. Our messages are open. We'll post some like hotline and chat, some anonymous things as well, but I'm sorry, and thank you for being you and continuing on.
Love that. I think we should end on that note.
This conversation could go on for 10 more hours. And so anyone listening, the thing that we challenge you all to do when you leave this space is what Marissa already brought up. Spend a week and think about how often you say no. Think about how often you feel comfortable saying no. When you do say no, how often it's listened to. And then also think about how that relates to your identities and what that means. And then with that too, if you're a parent or if even with your friends and family, talk about no, right? Like talk with kids about what no means, about how they have a right to say no, what that looks like, respect people when they say no. Those are some takeaways. And those are some things that I challenge you to do over the next week and just moving forward in how we interact with words like this.
Say no this week.
Say no to some people this week. Yes. Be a bad bitch and say no.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
Stay perfect and beautiful. Bye.